coming to you live from inside the globe, perched high atop the Bugle Planet building in sunny Gotham City. It's Hey Kids Comics with two guys who are always ready to seduce the innocent, your hosts, Andrew Farmer and the Jedi Cole Houston. And now it's time for Hey Kids Comics.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Hey Kids Comics. I am Andrew Farmer. With me, as always, the Jedi Cole Houston.
Good evening, everybody.
And almost always joining us is our special guest tonight, the first official show of the new year, and the 304. We came at it hard with 300, and I feel like we're really continuing what's going to be a legacy of just out of the park, just pointing to the fences, no pressure.
The next 300 issues are going to be insane.
Yeah, no pressure, Eddie Medina. That's what we're going to call him from now on, no pressure, Eddie Medina.
That's my whole life. That's
just pointing to the fences. Eddie, we couldn't be happier that you're on one of the new year. You know, you've been such a staple on this show, and we mean it. We love you to death. And
thank you. In all honesty, it's great being considered a staple of the show, because this show and Tell 'Em Steve Dave are my favorite podcasts, and I listen to a lot of podcasts.
You can't say, speaking of no pressure, I hate when you come on and say that shit. You're like, this is the best show. Like, no, it's not. No, it's not. But yeah, so, you know, we're coming at it again, hitting it hard.
Yeah, you're like, supposed to qualify that before you make that kind of statement. This is the best show that's made in a half-ass way or something, anything to help us get through it.
You can go with fun. I believe that this show is the most fun show out there. But you know, we're going to cover some serious subject matter this year, like the real deal. We're not shying away from the hard-hitting topics.
Really?
Yeah, we're going at it. Like for instance, this show right here. Cole, tell them about what we're going to be investigating tonight.
Absolutely. I'd like to say that, you know, this was inspired by some of the past issues where we were talking about, you know, variant covers or gimmick covers and other things like that. But it really comes down to the realization that, you know, unlike Droid Day, which comes around twice a year, Christmas only happens once a year, so we only get one good chance to talk about Christmas stuff, and it's usually about our Christmas wish list.
That's true. And it's about us. We make it about us every time.
Because y'all have a sickness of buying collectibles nonstop, which
we?
I have the same sickness.
We?
Yeah, what? Hello?
I include myself.
So, the thing about it is, I got to thinking about when I'm looking for flavor art for our Christmas specials, especially if I don't want to give away the collectibles we're going to talk about, I'll go and find these comic covers that feature Santa Claus.
Sure.
And it turns out there's about 156 billion comic covers that feature Santa Claus.
Now, is it not just Santa Claus, right? It could be anything related to the holidays.
We'll have a conceit.
Yeah, absolutely. But for the most part, it was
For the most part, it defaults to Santa for sure.
Yeah, because there was just so much there to talk about. And I thought, you know, I don't want to talk about Santa Claus appearing in comics and stuff like that.
We've done things
like that. But what I wanted, it occurred to me what would be fun is this issue is, of course, the first of a recurring theme that we're going to have throughout the new year, which is cover stories.
Which we say, how many recurring themes are we supposed to have, Cole?
Well, that's another recurring theme.
I was going to say, as a longtime listener of the show, how many times have I heard that phrase, a new recurring?
So
we've heard our own show Rancor Pit many times too.
Oh yeah, Eddie does the Rancor Pit too. Everybody should know that by now. Whatever. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, another home of recurring themes. But we've actually got the second one of these. But this is the first cover stories. Here comes Santa Claus, and we're going to judge books by their cover.
I like that. That's a good catch, Cole. I like that copy. Judging books by their cover.
So you can tell I thought about this for upwards of 10 minutes.
That's right. And I did about 20, I did about 15 minutes of research. So we are good to go, my friend. There is nothing stopping us.
That's right.
Hitting it
so
hard.
So let's just jump right into, and since, Eddie, you are the belated Christmas gift of this episode.
I'm going to unwrap you.
The kind of gift that you want to take back. Okay, I got you.
Well, I was going to, but the store closed. But at any rate,
and went out of business. And
yeah, just completely gone.
Escrowed and came in.
It's like that video store in Duncanville where I bought a lifetime membership, and turns out it was their lifetime, not mine.
Or that other store that I think, can't remember if it was called. I think it was called Toys R Us something or other.
Oh, yeah. Too soon.
What the hell am I going to do with my Jeffrey Bucks now?
Stick them up your ass.
That's right. So we're going to go ahead and have you lead us into Santa Claus on the cover of a comic that just either struck you funny or made you say, what?
Made you say, what's up with that?
Or you just thought, what a great use of Santa.
This is going to be a recurring theme where I go, what's up with that?
My first, at the moment Cole mentioned this topic to me, the first cover that popped into mind, thank goodness it does have Santa on the cover because I can use it, is it relates back to a previous episode that I was on where I talked about my love of the Freebie comics.
Yes.
Oh, very good. Yeah.
So this is a particular Freebie comic, the Spider-Man Christmas in Dallas, that was as a giveaway for the Dallas Times Herald back in the 80s, like 82 or 83. This particular cover showcases none other than the Kingpin as Jolly Old as Jolly Old Saint Nick with the cheap Ben Cooper Santa mask flying off of his big noggin as he takes a shot at Spider-Man. Spider-Man looks like he's tripping over a pile of Sanger Harris gift wrapped presents on the ground.
You know, I was afraid to go see Santa at Sanger Harris that year because I was afraid it might turn out to be Kingpin and there would be gunplay.
Or foreplay.
And I was like 17 at the time. So
it's been a few years since I've read this comic. From what I remember of it, I know we're judging by the cover, it depicts Kingpin in the most bizarre way. He almost acts like an up-and-coming wannabe villain as opposed to the actual kingpin of crime, where he's pulling off little robbery jobs at the Redbird Mall instead of just, you know, running all the business.
Like, he pilfered a few Christmas cards at Card Cage. And he did a dine and dash over at the Orient Express.
And washed it all down with Orange Julius.
Did he get any? Did he get any Dippin' Dots? Did he get any of them Dippin' Dots?
They weren't around back then.
Oh,
not shit. '82.
That's why I don't go to the mall. Does it depict the mall as it is though?
Inside. I think Sanger Harris was always like a sponsor of these comic books. I know they were. Sanger Harris was definitely featured on the cover of Spider-Man and the Hulk meet the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders for sure. Okay. So I'm pretty sure that they are probably sponsoring.
I've seen that video. I have the internet. I'm just saying.
In that video. I'm not gonna ask.
just don't ask. Just let it go. But I'm just saying it's out there if anybody wants to see it. So
does that one have a Stanley cameo in it as well?
It does. At least it could be an Armenian just janitor at the mall food court, but it might also be Stanley. I'm not good at faces, so it could be either or. Mine is oddly similar to yours, and okay. Cole will know that this is my favorite. When Cole announced on the show, it was at the end of 300 that you announced it, or was it the end of the one before 300? The
Green Lantern? I think it may have been the end of 300.
That he announced that this is the one we're going to do, my brain immediately clicked into this one cover, and it's the cover of The Incredible Hulk 378.
Okay.
And on the cover, it's a mall and Santa with a crowbar that happens to be on sale for $9.99. fighting the Incredible Hulk. And I remember owning this comic, and I just dug it out. So I have it in my paws right now.
I remember this cover.
And it's Santa at the mall. It's a mall Santa that a certain horn-headed Spider-Man villain gets a hold of a mall Santa suit, puts it on, and plays mall Santa because he's trying to rob the mall. And then Banner has to go to the bathroom. I seriously, page 13, I'm looking at it right now. Banner has to drop the Gamma Kids at the Gamma Pool and gets into a stall and turns into the Incredible Hulk, but it's the Mr. Fix-It Incredible Hulk, and comes busting out. A kid pulls the Santa's fake beard off of the Rhino, and the Rhino goes into a fit of rage, and then a, like, seven-page fight erupts between the Hulk and the Rhino in this mall. The Rhino dressed as a mall Santa, and then an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. shows up for some reason.
Go ahead.
And the thing I like the most about it is the last pages, okay?
Uh-huh.
So I know we're supposed to be judging a book by its cover, like Eddie said, but the reason that this book sticks out for me is because they're literally beating the holy hell out of themselves in this mall, right? And insulting each other for like 7 or 8 pages, right? Uh-huh. And it gets to a point where, you know, the fight's going to end. He puts back on the Santa costume that he has, like the mask and the beard and the hat.
Yeah.
And goes to punch him in the face, and then they both look over and there's a little girl standing there holding a doll. And
oh,
she asks Santa why Santa's hurting the gray man. And so
I'm looking at it. I'm scrolling Google Images, I found it. Yeah.
So they both have to cheese for this kid. You know, like, Rhino has to pretend, because it's a kid, Rhino has to pretend to be Santa, and Hulk has to be like, yeah, we were just playing, you know, and then Hulk has to be the elf while Rhino, like, has kids on his lap telling them what they want for Christmas.
That's just creepy.
It's actually really good, and the story's all told from the perspective of Rick Jones, is telling the story. So it's
horrible looking art. I'm sorry. Who drew this?
It's really derivatively bad art, but it always reminds me of Christmas comics. This particular one I'm holding in my hand, and it all started because I bought it because the cover had Santa Claus fighting the Incredible Hulk with a crowbar that's on sale for $9.99.
With the most brave tagline of, because you demanded it. The most trusted villain of all.
I don't know the truth behind. I don't know if that's true. I'm going to say
maybe
not.
If that's not a Stan Lee sales pitch, I don't know what is.
I'm going to say I don't know if that's accurate or not. But yeah, so that's mine. Cole, what do you got? You got something?
Well, hold on, Andy. Before we move on, because as I'm flipping through these Google images, page 16, if you have yours open. Tell me what the last panel shows on page 16.
Oh, no. Okay.
Or describe it further.
I'm flipping to it now. Oh, yeah. That's that Dunkin' Dunk. Sir Mix-a-Lot was actually singing about the Incredible Hulk.
Look, speaking of horrible art, look how this leg is drawn in relation to the rest of Hulk's body. Or the legs to everything else. Not only is he kicking the Rhino in the gonads, but he's got, like, no crotch.
Well,
his one leg is like
a foot shorter than the other leg, and
not only that, it looks like someone took two Build-A-Figure legs, forgot to attach the waist, and just stuck them together.
That's true. Hey, listen, I was young, I didn't understand the art back then. All I know is that that book is Christmas to me.
Well, and I love the shot I found of Hulk and Rhino both sort of doing a double take.
Yeah, with the kid?
Yeah.
Where they're both like, huh?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, what's going
makes
on
me
with
happy.
These beetling brows of theirs. It's just
right.
Exactly. All right, so Cole, what do you got? Bring us home here on round one.
Yeah, I don't really have that much experience with actual comics that fit this bill, so I am really going to rely on the covers, and I found one in my research that it supplanted all others.
Oh, no.
And that is, let me see here, 1994's Flash number 87.
Flash 87. All right, hold on.
Where it is the Point Break Christmas.
Yes, what? yes. I know exactly the one you're talking about.
Wait, Flash what?
87? So, yes, Flash.
Oh, my gosh.
It's like LMFAO.
Assembling on a trio of Santies.
Body rocket in the house.
I don't know if this is like their Miami Vice houseboat pajama party or what's going on. And they've all got like stylish, different colored, the same kind of shoe and different colors.
Right. And, they look like the Geico cavemen just like dyed their hair
white. Oh, wow. They do. They are kind of savage looking. And then, you know, being 1994, you half expect Spike Lee to hop in. Is it the shoes?
That is a reference.
Look at the brilliance of them sneaking their names on the cover by way of making the name of the boat. Alan Davis and Mark Farmer. That's like the name of the boat.
Yeah, it's the Alan Davis, Mark Farmer. Why did you name your boat that? Well, we had to repurpose the monkey business.
Right. That's because Ava Braun was
taken. Look
it up. Ava Braun was taken. Good Lord.
I'm not even sure what to make of that.
Ava, whatever. Oh, gosh.
That's awesome.
This is killing me.
There's so many great...
This has turned out to be as much fun as Super Promo Sports. I mean,
the covers are literally nothing short of amazing. Like the covers that you come up that you when you're looking specific like Christmas covers, it's nothing short of like the stuff that you find is nothing short of amazing. The Lobo paramilitary Christmas.
Oh yes, that was a classic.
With the bloody knife and Santa beat down like bleeding from a head wound in the snow. Like there's definitely a subgenre of Christmas.
Oh my gosh, I'm looking at it.
Yeah, there's definitely a subgenre of Christmas comics that revolves around the idea that Santa gets his ass kicked on a regular basis.
I almost want to start a collection of these things now.
you could.
And I love the Surgeon General's warning there. It says, warning, contains bad taste in the form of ultra-violence, which Alex DeLarge and his band of droogies would have loved. Icon bashing and the finger, more offensive than Christmas usually is.
You mean, like, Bill the Finger, or what?
Bill the Finger.
And I love the fact that Lobo, this was during his period where he was just, I mean, this is as far as Lobo goes with cosplay, but he was really into Olivia Newton-John.
Right. Oh, yeah, I was thinking that this was the Tank Girl crossover.
Oh, okay.
He's got that one big cable shoulder pad.
Yeah, he's got some pouches.
It was actually, used to be one of those little platforms that circus seals would hop up on.
Yeah.
And you can see he's like busting the bottom of it out.
Right. That's what it looks like. That's what it looks like. That's genius.
Oh, this is good.
That's the music you play when you read this comic. It goes hand in hand.
That's the music that plays in my head when I read any comic. Dude, there's so many awesome, just awesome covers. Cole, this is a really good idea. There's so many amazing covers.
I'm loving it.
I stumbled on one that I just blew me away. An obscure Archie comic.
Oh my gosh, that was my next go-to.
Oh my god, the
go
from the Archie romance series, Katie Keene.
Uh huh.
Where apparently they're like in the tropics or something, so they have to celebrate a very, you know, sort of sandy brown Christmas by the sea. And I guess this is Katie herself here as Joni Longtorso. And her bikini-clad friend in the background, and I can't work out the scale here. Either Katie is an Amazon.
I can't work out the scale.
Oh, I found it. I found it finally.
Check this out. It's Katie Keene number 33. Merry Christmas,
on.
Katie Keene. Meanwhile, a diminutive dwarf-like Santa is contemplating the forced perspective here, because you really cannot work out. I mean, Katie's friend must be tiny.
I can't figure this one out, because their feet almost all share the same plane. So
yeah,
the
palm tree suddenly becomes rather small in its own right. Santa is just diminutive.
Well, he's at the perfect height for you know what.
Oh, he does love the North Pole.
That's why he's got his finger where it is. He's not contemplating the tree.
Okay, so here's the thing. There is no scale here. Because we need to assume that she's as tall as that palm tree.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
True.
So we're going to... But that puts her at about... Given the scale of everything else in the image, mm-hmm. Katie is 5 foot nothing.
Which one is Katie?
I don't know. I think... I'm assuming
the Baywatch one, I think.
Yeah, if Katie is the Baywatch one, then I'm going to assume she's about 14 feet tall.
Right.
No, actually, I think she's actually 5 foot nothing in heels.
Because Katie Keenan, the older comics, always had the dark hair, like Veronica.
Nerd.
And that her...
I know.
Santa is about 3'5", 3'6".
That's the Gimli Santa.
Yeah, and her little elf friend's probably about 5'1", 5'2".
Right.
Maybe 5 feet tall.
So that's a really small palm tree.
Or 3 feet tall, rather. Yeah, the palm tree is only about 5.5 feet tall.
Okay.
So it's really this weird exercise in forced perspective, because Katie always insists on looking like she's 19 feet tall.
Oh, okay. So it's Peter Jackson's Katie Keene's Christmas.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Right, I gotcha.
While, hell, I'm drawing a blank on his name, but yeah, you know, basically everybody has to stand way at the other end of a weird, you know, Casa Magnetica table.
Gandalf? She's the Gandalf of this cover.
Yeah,
she's the only one of normal that's allowed to be of normal human height. When
exactly everybody else is 9 feet away.
It's the Vin Diesel contractual postulation that, you know, he has to win a fight every fight he's in. She has to be the tallest thing in every scene.
All right.
That's, you know, one of those little known facts about comics. So there you have it.
There you have it.
Well, since we're talking Archie. You put an Archie Christmas comic, and I kid you not, they must have like 1,200 different covers. And just about anyone, you can pick any one of them at random, and I challenge you to take their word balloons and change out one or two words and make it dirty. It works almost every time. Almost every time. For instance, the Betty and Veronica Christmas Spectacular number 465.
Betty and Veronica Christmas Spectacular 465.
Right. They're walking along the sidewalk and with their gifts, and Santa, you know, one of the Salvation Army Santas in the back, you know, with the gift thing. And Veronica's saying, "Betty, this Christmas, I hope to give you what you really want." And Betty responds with, "Gosh, Ronnie, how are you ever going to gift wrap Archie? I want to change Archie to, like, anything else.
Anything like, else. Anything else.
Dildo or...
Yeah, strap-on.
You know,
Or Manjitsu.
It's the holidays.
Or something, you know?
How are you going to gift wrap Manjitsu? That is a Deep Hey Kids Comics guy.
That's a Joan Baez song. I have a question. We're all adults here. It's Christmas. We should be able to speak freely. Is dildo still a word we use? Like, in popular parlance, do we still say dildo?
I think it still comes up amongst the old...
If it's still a category on adamandeve.com, then yes.
Okay, okay. I forgot we had a professional with us.
Yeah. I heard tell of this, Adam and Eve!
All right, I just wanted to be clear, but yes, you are absolutely right. How are you ever going to
get dachshund up by the middle?
How are you ever going to gift wrap this fleshlight is a question.
Oh, wow. Yes, indeed.
It works anyway. And if it's not something where you can change out just one or two words and make it dirty, there's little innuendos in just about every Archie comic, and the Christmas ones are no different. Take, for instance, Archie's Christmas Stocking.
Oh, you've gone deep. You've gone deep into the world of Archie, haven't you?
It's either, I don't know, it's 524. It might be Archie Giant Series 524. It may just be subtitled The Christmas Stocking. But this particular one, you know, Archie's in the back. Jughead's looking out the window. Santa is flying in like this, you know, old school Buck Rogers rocket with the reindeer. Betty and Veronica are in the foreground. Oh, it's a Dan DiCarlo cover. And so Veronica, Betty is gift wrapping. Veronica is holding, I kid you not, a Christmas-shaped Jell-O. And I can only imagine they did that on purpose, because what happens when you walk around with a big thing of Jell-O? It wiggles and bounces around. What's the one thing you think about when you think of Betty and Veronica wiggling and bouncing around? Right?
Well, we've learned so much about Eddie tonight.
Is this the one thing we think of?
Yeah.
The first thing I think of when I think Betty and Veronica. y'all.
You know, their naughty bits are down there, mister.
Yes. I mean, I guess it depends on the artist.
Well,
Eddie, I will agree with you. It's, if you look at that Christmas spectacular that you were talking about at the top, look at the look on Santa's face.
Oh my gosh! Yes. That's all.
You weren't the only one noticing the jiggling.
Yeah, right. Like, look at the look on Santa's face. That's all I'm saying.
Oh my gosh. That's true. There's also, I mean, there, I could go on and on. There's so many bizarre Christmas covers to the Archie stuff.
The thing is, yeah, the Betty, the Archie comics is just a treasure trove.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's like when it comes to, like, innuendos and...
I mean, there's one I stumbled on where Archie's shown up at the front door doing Saturday Night Live's Dick in a Box.
Just way low. Just really holding that box low.
No, he's like, he's inserted his entire self in the box, but.
No, my favorite, and this is from memory, but I hope I get the quote right, but it's a beach scene where Archie is carrying either Betty or Veronica on his shoulders out of the water, and two guys are like bruised or knocked out or something. I forgot how it all is set up, but the quote that she's saying, let's say it's Betty on his shoulders and she's talking to Veronica who's on the beach. She was saying, Archie had to beat off two guys to get me.
Oh my god.
Fantastic.
And that's a real
right quote up there with this comic that was auctioned off years ago at one of the Dallas Fantasy Fairs.
Uh-huh.
And it was like this real life adventure kind of comic, probably from Dell.
Uh-huh.
And the cover was broken up into these different parts about, like, you know, this particular guy who was a, you know, survived a POW camp, or this guy fought a tiger or something. Yeah. And then the guys that were presenting the auction, they lost it for about 20 minutes before they could present this thing, because and veteran of the Dallas Fantasy Fair, Paul McSpadden, was there trying desperately to choke back the laughter and the tears as he described the one of the features on the cover was the man who wouldn't be licked.
Speaking of the man who wouldn't be licked, I ask you both to direct your attention and the listener at home to one Guy Gardner Warrior issue 39.
Oh my god, I saw that one earlier.
Featuring, I think that might be Jade or Fire. Maybe it's Fire on Elf's costume, but Guy Gardner as a shirtless...
oh my gosh.
Santa Claus trying to shove himself down a chimney.
Yeah, I'm not sure who's. And then he's got like the.
Why is he painted up that way?
That's the way he looked. That's when he.
Oh, that's how you looked in the series?
Yeah.
Oh,
when
yeah.
He could make weapons with his hands. He didn't have a ring. He could just like make himself into weapons. Are you not familiar with your period of.
No, but
I was like,
count your lucky stars, friend.
He kind of reminds me of Rye in the future Rye from Valiant Comics, because he has that sun right in the middle of his chest.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's exactly what it looks like. And he's trying to, like, shove himself down this chimney like like Santa Claus would. But
right.
my favorite part about it, the most confusing thing about this cover, okay?
Yeah.
The tagline is, you better not cry, you better not pout. Now, here's the journey I want you to go on with me. First of all, that's not the rhyme. It's, you better not pout, you better not cry, or I'm telling you why, Santa Claus is coming to town, right? That's the rhyme. It's not, you better not cry, you better not pout.
Yeah.
Are they trying to rhyme it with something, or did they just mess it up?
I get the distinct impression they didn't quite research. You know, they probably, it was probably written in June. So it's not like you can crank up the radio.
Uh-huh.
I just really, like, it's not, none of it's right. Like, why would you do this at all?
It's weird.
Okay, and, if you want
to... And I'm trying to wonder, what exactly caused him to get stuck at that point? Huh?
Well, his legs made it down.
Right. Yeah, what didn't?
Yeah, there's something about having your legs in a warm chimney.
Right. Oh, man.
It puts steam in a man's stride. Just put it that way.
Oh, my gosh.
That's just one of those that...
It's got three windows and an Archie cover.
Yeah, that's just one of those that I saw and I was like, I gotta talk about this because it's wrong.
Is that Lobo's gun in his back?
He's got everything.
He's got Superman's cape.
Oh yeah, I see the obvious. Yeah, I see the obvious ones. I'm trying to figure out the gun. Is that supposed to be Lobo's gun? I guess.
I think it's supposed to be Lobo's gun, but he's also got Kyle Rayner, like a doll strapped to his
the weird voodoo doll kind of threw me off.
He's got Hawkman's, he's got Green Arrow's bow, he's got Lobo's chain and gun, like the fish hook. Yeah. You know, he's got all of that stuff.
Oh, there's
like,
the fish. I can see the hook. Yeah, you're right. I see the tiara.
This is a bad one to talk about because it's so confusing.
There's the trident. So the only thing doesn't have anything from Batman in here. I guess that says that he couldn't best Batman.
Well, that's a throwback to that one punch where he gets punched in the face and gets knocked out, I think, is what that was. Like, he's not going to mess with him. That's continuity. You're not allowed.
And on his elf, who'd you say the elf was?
I think... You know what? It can't be. I thought it was like either Jade or Fire, you know, the Brazilian member of the Justice League International. I thought maybe that's what it was, but I have no idea.
It just might be some random hottie.
Yeah.
Well, my question is, what's that on her chest? Is it cotton or is it something else?
Well, you know.
Damn it. Damn you.
Maybe he was hoping to release. That way he figured he could fit better down there.
I get
the impression he's having a Dalton Wilcox moment.
You would say cock.
So, Comedy Bang Bang fans will understand that.
Yes.
Pulls as much water as that hole demands.
All right. Cole, all right. What do you got over there?
When you said warrior, I mistakenly channeled another comic cover I saw just this morning. And I actually have, remember this, the Ultimate Warrior.
Yes!
Seriously?
Yes, baby!
The Ultimate Warrior Christmas comic.
Yes, yes, yes.
It was Warrior Xmas. Is it Rob Liefeld or just somebody who can draw feet?
It's not Rob. I don't believe it's Rob.
You can tell it. Well, it's like that. Was it Walter Jimenez or whoever it is that just so channeling George Perez?
Yeah, yeah. No,
I think this guy is unfortunately very much channeling his hero.
Oh my gosh, I see it—the Ultimate Warrior. Now, he's like swinging Spider-Man style.
Yeah.
I see it now. He's posing, and he's
got like
all
of his arm ribbons.
He was the
right.
That
looks like Joe Quesada. That's a Joe Quesada cover.
Oh my gosh!
I recognized it, and then I looked down the corner and saw the big Q.
I love how everybody just stops talking. Everybody was mid-sentence when they realized it was a Joe Quesada cover and just went completely dead inside.
Well, the fact that if you look at some of the imagery from the book, it gets even more frightening.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, this was a big... The Ultimate Warriors comic book was a fairly big deal for...
I don't even remember it, to be honest.
Like, this one I saw where it's like the kids in line to sit on Santa's lap.
Yeah.
and there's a sign hanging down by a chain. A line starts 1 mile back. And these kids all have these unfurling scrolls in front of them as they wait their turn. And this one kid's there kind of like, you know, boring the hell out of the Ultimate Warrior. They're playing, in this case, Chessy McTorso over here.
Boring the hell out of the Ultimate Warrior.
Oh, my gosh.
But, you know, the cover alone is just this dynamic of...
Oh, yeah.
Of Ultimate Warriorness for your Christmas pleasure.
If Joe Quesada by chance ever happened to listen to this episode, he would be so pissed that you thought before it was Joe Quesada, before he knew that it was some dude trying to channel Rob Liefeld. You know, he would be pissed to no
end. There's only one way to make that better, by the way, and that's because Quesada still does signings.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is, I bet you can find a copy of this bad boy.
Somebody needs to burn this onto a CD and give it to him.
We can get this. No, I just want this. No, I want that. I want that comic signed.
You want it physically signed? Yeah.
I want it physically signed by him.
Gosh.
And we'll put that up on JasonMimosa.com.
Yes, oh my gosh. Do y'all remember the Marvel series What the?
Yeah. Of course.
There was a What the Christmas special.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there was.
Oh, wow.
With Milk and Cookie on the cover.
Oh, I was just actually just like, I didn't realize. Yes, it was that was What the.
Like, Milk and Cookie, the characters are the Milk and Cookie for Santa. That's actually kind of genius.
It's kind of genius, but it also, there's just no good way to approach a character called Milk.
No, there's not.
You can't, no gender works.
Well, that. Was you okay?
I mean, at least they had the good sense to give her maybe, you know, double D cuffs, maybe.
Right.
You know, she wasn't like Tits Gazonga from James Bond or something.
Tits Gazonga.
Well, of course you are.
Wait a second. Is Tits Gazonga a real character? Because if not, we have to make that into like a Hate Kids Comics
actually. That was the one that I think Steve created. My friend Steve.
We'll give them co-creators.
Yeah, we need to co-op that for Mugger.
Yeah, we're coming up with James Tits Bond, Gazonga. Like Bond name, like Mini Tata and
Mini Tata.
Now with Milk and Cookies, I hear they're bringing them back, but they're setting them in modern time. So since it's like 20 years later, they're changing the name to MILF and Cookies.
Yeah. Wow. Well, she was. I mean, you know, she's got that platinum blonde milfy milky thing going on.
And they're vegan now.
And her giant
and they're vegan.
And her big giant Elsie bling going on her chest.
It's it's all almond milk and vegan cookies. So
that's right. It's all natural.
Well, it's going to be written by Kevin Smith, so he's going to change that to the Moobies cow.
Oh, that's true.
Good joke.
And it'll be 6 months late.
Damn. Coming in hot for 2019. Coming in hot.
All right. What you got, buddy?
Oh, my gosh.
Eddie, you got
me?
One?
Oh, my turn. Sorry. Okay. I'm still reeling over the Ultimate Warrior. Okay. Let's just go with a random one. Oh, here's one. Only because, okay, put in, I don't even know which year this is because it doesn't have a cover. Okay, it's the Marvel Holiday Magazine, so maybe you type that in. And it counts because it actually has comic stories in it. This is when Marvel back, I guess, I don't know, this might have been in the 90s era where they were producing these magazines.
Yeah, and I know what you're talking about.
Actually, this is pretty new, it looks like. Anyway, this particular cover is the Hulk, Captain America, and Iron Man. I wish I knew what year this was. So I can reference it. But they're riding on a sled.
Oh, like yes!
Like a sled. And Hulk has got, like, the biggest, like, baby scream face I can imagine.
He's like, and
they're all so close together. Like, how
2018. It's 2018.
It just came out.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, so this might still be on the newsstands if they haven't shipped them back yet.
Check your newsstands for...
Look how close they are together! How are their bits not touching each other?
Oh, I think they call this They call this the Christmas. They call this Polar Express, if you know what I'm saying.
Well, let me just point out that Hulk's expression is not one of abject terror. Because he can survive anything they crash into. No, it's the sudden realization that his junk slipped out.
Yep, and it's cold against Iron Man's.
It's touched Iron Man's
backside.
Armor.
Yeah.
And
yeah, just we're on the same page.
And a little bit on Cap, you know, this
on
his
page.
Battle pants.
Oh my gosh. I'm dying over here.
He's got gamma shame.
It's cold, man. Leave him alone.
Oh my gosh, I'm dying.
So I have a favorite of mine that I keep wanting to own, and I just haven't been able to find it yet. And I'm being serious. If you can find EC's Vault of Horror number 35, and this is one I really want to own. For my own collection, it is a Vault of Horror EC comic where it's set up just like any other you know EC comic is, where it's down the side is featuring the vault, the crypt keepers, and the old witch and their little you know like Roy Clark breakout little circles there. But the main body of it is a woman looking at a casket that's wrapped up with a bow that says Merry Christmas, and then behind her, like, back into the left of her, is what I'm guessing is her husband with an axe just mid-swing
oh, yes.
Right in her head.
It is the husband, because the tag says Merry Christmas to my wife.
Yeah, and I want that so
That
bad.
Is such classic pre-code horror.
Because it tells the whole story, like, right there. It's so good.
I love how you actually said
yeah,
back to the left.
Back into the left.
Right.
She was so obsessed about her her eventual demise that he went ahead, ponied up, and got her a casket. And you can tell she's really happy about it. And he's just kind of trying out that new axe that she got him for Christmas.
Yeah.
It's really
right, that's what it is.
Tail there.
It's
I'm
nice.
Pretty sure. I think
sure.
That's what's going on.
Sure, that's what's happening.
I'm trying to think who the guy reminds me more of. Like, he's like, do y'all remember the redheaded child star from the old Disney movies? I think his name was Johnny Whitaker, maybe.
Oh yes, Johnny Whitaker, who
played,
was
like, he was in Tom Sawyer and all that.
Yeah, he went on to
cut his wife's head off at Christmas time.
Yeah. Well, that was. The next stop in his career was Sigma and the Sea Monsters.
Oh my God! Here,
and
well, this would be him like all grown up. I don't know why
yeah,
I saw that guy. I immediately thought of that kid.
No, I can see why, because he was a child star and they're prone to murderous rampages.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So
and the fact.
Loretta.
Yeah. Exactly. And he caught his wife singing "If and I Were God."
What?
I don't
look it up. Johnny Whitaker sings "If and I Were God."
Oh,
that's you pulled some way out there references.
He does.
Before,
he's,
man.
He's been that on fire. Like 40
I think that takes the
girl reference.
Oh, by the way, Eddie, you also might want to look at the other holiday Marvel holiday magazine. I'm just putting this out there. Just take a gander. And just tell me what's going on.
That really, is it the Deadpool one?
Yeah, tell me what's going on with Thor and Deadpool. Are they also given Wolverine
okay,
the Polar look, Express?
Because that was the one I was going to go with too. But I'm glad you brought up. Okay, so you got Wolverine, right?
That sled is getting a lot of use, but instead of having
a Captain America bumper sticker,
it's like a leather couch at a porn audition.
Right. It's the casting couch of the Marvel Holiday Magazine.
That's right.
Yeah, you got Wolverine who looks like he's laying down on his belly, claws out, Thor running, I guess, on his back.
Yeah, I don't know where Thor's at.
And again, Thor has that same exasperated look of realization that something poked.
Hey,
well, I
want to
know where
Wolverine looks so pissed.
I want to know where Daredevil's right or Deadpool's right arm is.
Well, where's the right arm, and why is his leg positioned there?
Also, there's a lot you could do on a sled.
I've got a logistical question about this. Why do Wolverine's claws need to be popped if he's sledding?
Well, they weren't.
It's a reaction.
Essentially, what happened, I'll play it out for you, okay?
Okay.
Spider-Man's web hit Deadpool in such a way that Deadpool's, let's see if I can get his right arm kind of went somewhere it didn't need to be. It was like down in the nether regions of Asgard.
It went into the leathery Cheerio.
Yeah, which then caused Thor to have a sudden, let's just say a little lightning bolt.
Well, that's what he calls it.
Yeah, and so
little
that's...
Little millinier.
So let's just say that Thor popped and then Wolverine popped. I had no idea this was going to turn so dirty.
Well, you know,
then
like...
again, I did.
Like Pringle says, once you pop, you can't stop.
No.
Okay. Well, now on a lighter note, I'm going to take us to Batman number 33.
Okay.
Where Batman and Robin predict Saturday Night Live in the 70s.
What do they predict?
Saturday Night Live in the 70s. Robin is playing Chevy Chase as President Ford.
Wait, it's Batman number
33. Yeah, you'll know it's a Christmas tree cover.
So Robin's gonna crash and go, live from New York, it's Saturday.
Oh, yeah, I'm with you.
I know that clip now. I know what you're talking about.
Yes. Okay, I'm with you now. I see it. Yes. I like the fact that much exactly the way we portray Batman on this show, he has a look of he has almost a look of glee at Robin's impending injury.
Yeah, he does. He does.
But since you guys insist on playing blue, I will direct you instead to Image Comics.
This is our fault.
Image Comics.
Wait. Hold that thought. Let me one more comment on the.
We're not done riffing on this.
If you can afford to get yourself a beater copy of number 33 Batman,
yeah,
you buy one and it's perfectly set up. It's got a white cover already.
Oh yeah.
In that space, that white space next to Robin, you've got to draw in a word balloon where he's saying "live from New York."
Oh yes, that's my mission.
Okay, now
pervs out there, I'm going to give you Glory and Friends Christmas Special.
Oh no.
From Image Comics.
Oh, God.
I mean, this is like Glory Ho Ho Ho.
Let me see. What? The Glory. Oh!
Yeah,
oh,
Glory. Yeah. The Glory, right?
Yeah, there's.
That's so slutty it deserves four hoes.
Oddly enough, Santa Claus has the same facial expression he did from that Betty and Veronica one about three or four back.
Because she's crazy. Seen the phallic carrots?
Yes.
She's got a handful.
And a handful of snow, by the way.
Olaf is in her hand.
In her right hand. Oh my gosh, she just finished. She worked him to completion.
She worked him to completion is a quote. Was just
oh my god.
On Hey Kids Comics, yes, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh my gosh. Look who the artist is. Mike Deodato.
Oh, been saving it up.
You know he's hoping this cover just goes away and this is never brought up again.
We should make it our mission on this show to make sure they never go away.
Okay, this is another one. If he shows up to a convention, I'm getting this one signed.
That's right.
Yeah, we should make that a mission as well. Just get like the worst covers signed by the artist, and just have him sign "The Cold Never Bothered Me Anyway."
And not only get them signed, but get them signed in the most like bombastic way we
can. Oh yeah, exactly.
Well, okay, from an artist standpoint, look at the bottom part of the snowman. The why does he have shading on him as if he's metallic?
Yeah, why does he have a weird shadow?
As if someone has like dug out the lower part of, you know, his abdominal area has been shoveled out.
Yeah.
But that was
the type of shading that made popular by Scott Williams to showcase when something was metallic.
Oh, like, yeah.
Every image artist picked it up after that and used it for everything, even if it wasn't something metallic. And case in point, you got snow. But, you know.
Eddie, you were right, by the way. That isn't Joseph and Mary on that camel.
Thank you.
I don't know who it is. I think it's their camel.
I just, if anybody knew who those characters were, you would. They got the weird, like...
Cole, pull up DC... The DC Superstar Holiday Special, April 1980.
Somehow it auto-filled Special 1980. It must be very popular to see.
Who are those two on the camel? They have, like, Wolverine hair. But
that's Cain and Abel.
What? Who?
Cain and Abel from House of Secrets and House of
Secrets. Oh, House of Secrets, okay. How did they make the cover?
I know.
House of Mystery. It's right up there at the top, House of Mystery.
I mean, this is the most confusing comic book cover. Because it's got Jonah Hex.
Yeah.
Superboy and the Legion of Superheroes. There's Cain and Abel. There's Batman. There's Sergeant Rock.
Who's the witch?
I have no idea.
Is this the Christmas / Halloween special?
I think it's another House of Mystery person. I don't know.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, Andy sent this to me via text, and so it came up as a thumbnail, and I just assumed that was Mary and Joseph on a camel, and they were all going toward the Bethlehem Star. But then
it's Cain and Abel, so there's a biblical reference.
Right. And then you were like, it's Cain and Abel, and I'm like, say what?
In the biblical sense.
I was like, shouldn't one of them be dead with his head bashed in right now? Or?
that was the running gag in that comic, is that, like, they would have these conversations, and it would always culminate in the death of...
Okay.
I can't tell that you're joking or not. That's the sad part about this.
Oh my gosh. Why is Batman so happy on this cover?
No.
He's like the happiest orphan I've ever seen.
Wow. I don't even... Gee. He's like the happiest orphan I've ever seen. Oh my god. Yeah, okay, so I just wanted to point that out. If you haven't looked at it, there's no Santa Claus on it, but I was wanting to figure this out. There is one, though. The Giant Super Holiday Grab Bag is a good one, if you haven't looked at that one. 1975's Marvel Treasury Edition.
Wait, say it again? Which one?
Marvel's Giant Superhero Holiday Grab Bag. It's a Treasury Edition Marvel comic. It's okay. A little more wholesome, I think, so Cole would be happy about that.
Well, we'll fix that real quick. I remember this. Is that the one with the holly along the... Because there's a couple.
No, this one isn't that one.
Okay.
Cole, do you have it pulled up?
He stepped away for a sec.
Oh, okay.
Is it the one with Doctor Strange off to
yes.
the... Okay.
And Nick, can you tell me at what time period, I guess this time period, Nick Fury wore that costume?
Whoa! He looks like one of the Image Youngblood guys.
Yeah, he does. He 100% looks like one of the Image
Youngblood. It's like Blue Shaft or something. And not the Black Shaft, but the Youngblood Shaft.
I know what you were going for, and I also love the fact that you had to back up and explain yourself.
Yeah, not the Black Exploitation, the Liefeld Exploitation one.
Blue Shaft, not like Black Shaft, not like.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, that's
awesome. And Luke Cage has literally made a chain, a paper chain, to put on the tree.
Which is awesome. And I mean this is one of the more wholesome ones. I'm glad we're getting this in while Cole stepped away, so we get back to being dirty assholes once he gets back. But
why are whole fingers so big? Oh my gosh. They're huge.
Cole, I would direct your attention to the Superhero Holiday Grab Bag
1975.
Circa 1975.
Is he back? Cole, are you back?
I am.
Okay, yeah, Marvel Treasury Edition. We just got done talking about Youngblood Nick Fury and Not Black Shaft.
not Black Shaft.
Now, which of the holiday grab bags are we looking at?
We're looking at the one with Doctor Strange, where they forgot to actually color his yellow piping.
Yes. Yes. It should be the Giant Superhero Holiday Grab Bag 1975. And I love how Doctor Strange is so lazy that he has to use his powers to hang up one ornament.
Oh, yes. I remember this one. And Nick Fury's got that sexy cat suit going on.
Yeah, what we were just talking about, Nick Fury's sexy cat suit, and where that came from and what period that was during, because I don't remember that.
That's a very Steranko era.
It would have to be.
Steranko was all about the sexy cat suits. And then
I've got the Steranko Shield collection. I've never seen this look in it, unless I haven't gotten that far in the collection yet.
And also, here's a kid pitching his story idea for Hulk fighting the Rhino.
That's right! Excellent call.
Nice call.
Way
back.
To go. Way to go.
So whose ashes are in the urn up there on the...
Oh, wow.
Whose socks are those?
Uncle
whose
Ben.
House are they in?
Uncle Ben! Uncle Ben!
Oh, God.
Too soon?
I was going to say Bucky, but this is way before Infinity War, so...
Yeah.
That hurts on the inside and the outside.
What's that?
I said that hurts on the inside and the outside.
I love how it says on the down lower corner, Marvel's Yuletide gift to you. It's a gift, but you got to pay $1.50 to get
That's
this.
That's right.
Oh, my God. Cole, do you have one over there that you can share with the family?
Lord.
Because
wait, you're not going to make this any dirtier? We want you to make this a dirty cover.
It's hard to top glory.
I mean, it is, but
From what I hear, it's not hard to top her at all.
Oh, wow. Well,
right.
There was one that was just...
Oh, you know, if you need some time to stall, to think of it, I just came across a very bizarre one. It's Evil Ernie 7. I don't know what's going on here. I never read an Evil Ernie comic, but...
Oh, you haven't? Oh.
It appears to be two kids where the girl has mistletoe over the kid, and sometime in the future, this boy is going to be hashtagging Me Too at some point. It's bizarre, and then Evil Ernie's just kind of hovering overhead, did he possess this girl and make her kiss this guy? I don't get this cover. Are y'all seeing this?
Which one is it? Evil Ernie?
Evil Ernie 7.
Let me see if...
It's just a bizarre cover.
God. I have flashbacks to Chaos Comics early days as conventioneers when they would set up their giant foam castles.
Oh, wow.
And have their blue babes.
I forgot about that.
Oh, man. Those were the...
Well,
were the
back in the heyday, there was so much Evil Ernie merchandising. Like, you could get, like, these really poorly made resin Evil Ernie smiley face with the crossbones. Yeah, is Evil Ernie, like, you know, voyeuring through some sort of Wreath Stargate? Or
Reed
yeah,
Stargate.
Right. That's populated solely by his mane of devil hair.
And I guess these kids like actually live in the North Pole, because what are they standing on?
This has that same sort of difficulty.
That was one hell of a hill they sled down when they ended up in the Arctic.
Well, he's also got like Cotton Hill legs. From
yeah, right. He has no kneecaps.
What? Oh my gosh!
From King of the Hill, it's Young Cotton.
I got.
Cole and I are on the same page. Damn it!
Okay, after that comment, I'm gonna hashtag you too.
Oh my god!
I'll tell you, man, I'm laughing so hard in this episode. My stomach's hurting after all this.
It's the new year, baby.
Well, I found a Dell Santa Claus Funnies.
Ooh, you're going way back.
Yeah, I'm not sure which issue this is. I'm trying to see if I can get a closer picture. But it's basically Santa sort of idly playing around with a toy train set.
Oh, I see it, yeah.
And it leaves you wondering, does Santa have like some sort of abdominal gap going on? I mean, the train is actually going to go through his body.
It's not also turned on yet. He's still setting it up, obviously. He's attaching the cars.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe, you know, the thing was just barreling toward a collision with his midriff. And
this is Santa Claus Funnies from 1952.
It was just going to auger its way through.
But also, you know, how sad is Santa that he's sitting alone setting up his own train set? He's Santa.
Nobody ever brings toys to Santa except Santa.
Talk about creepy voyeur. Look at the jack sticking out of the bag, staring at Santa play. And the little girl doll sitting up looking at it. That's kind of creepy. That's very creepy.
How's about JSA 55?
Well, whoever drew that is dead now, so we don't have to worry.
JSA 55?
JSA 55. Take a look.
Oh,
gentlemen.
My gosh. They love exploiting these Santa covers. I'm telling you, look at those creepy, weird looking toes on.
Oh, I know. Wildcats.
Did you read the clip or the?
Oh my gosh.
The word bubble.
What? Catwoman needs a shave. Who wrote this?
Oh my god.
Jeff Johns wrote
it. Pretentious little kids.
Right. Look at the artist. The artist is Carlos Pacheco. Oh my gosh! I guess they all had to start somewhere.
Why is Wildcat playing footsie with Santa?
Right.
And also, you know, there's way too many kids right at crotch level for Wildcat for me
just
to
sort
be comfortable.
Of pressed in. I mean, he was prize fighter, so his junk's probably still in good shape because, you know.
Yeah. I guess they were trying to do a Norman Rockwell. Now that I look at the cover a little closer. You know, with the little circle thing in the background.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they missed their mark, though.
They did.
That's all I'm saying.
This is so weird. Why? Come on. Why do they have to have the little black girl dressed like she's one of the little rascals? Like,
no.
Seriously, put her in the century. What is with the overalls?
Well, then there was the Action Comics number 105 from February 1947.
Okay.
It's like, unless you guys.
It is weird.
Okay. It's like, show me on the elf on the shelf where Superman touched you.
No. That's like if Mojo was Santa Claus.
I know.
Oh my gosh. Get in my belly.
That's right. It's like Guy Gardner was able to get down this damn thing eventually.
And that was with the raging boner.
Was he, though?
Well, only after the temperature fell.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a good joke.
Oh,
my God. Yeah, I just wanted to point that one out. I just actually really liked the... did we talk about that What the cover?
Which one?
The What the 16? Where...
With Milk and Cookie?
No, this is a different one.
Oh, my gosh, there's more?
With Iron Man as a wind-up toy, and for some reason, all the...
Hold on, let me put in Marvel Comics. I'll put in What the 16, and it'll probably have a bunch of LeBron James sneakers.
I know, that's what I got, too.
Well, I'm trying to figure out, like, Dagger is an ornament. They've turned a dagger into an ornament
this thing. I'm totally not seeing it.
It's What the number 16... And it's got, like, I don't understand what's happening with I just found the thing creeping out from around the corner wearing a Santa hat.
Okay, I gotta see this. Hold on. I'm going to mycomicshop.com.
Have you not found it?
No. I'm gonna go through mycomicshop.com and just put in What the... They have everything there.
Hold on, guys. Let me see. Eddie, can you guys see this? I just posted a link to it in our group chat to see if you guys can actually see it.
If it ever comes through.
It might have just... Did it just go to you, Cole?
Let's see. I think so.
Anyway.
Yeah. Well, I'll catch up.
Okay. Yeah, it's literally just like... So it's got like... I don't understand what's going on, I guess. Oh, I get it. So Morbius and Ock and Hobgoblin are crawling out from under the ground, and they're saying, "Hey, I thought this was a Halloween cover." Like, it's a weird.
You said 16?
16, yeah.
Okay, I'm pulling it. Oh! Whoa!
It's so weird.
What is up with that dagger or tree ornament?
And the scale is super.
Okay, on let, this one let too. Me soak this in. For some reason,
okay,
the art,
take it all in.
The style of the art looks very familiar to me. Okay, so you got Hobgoblin. Happy holidays, okay. Yeah, I thought this was the. Why are they? Are they zombies rising from the grave?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, look at Ant-Man. Oh, look at the creepy grin.
Yeah, look at the grin on Ant-Man for why.
I think that's the rhino dress as Ant-Man. That's a big noggin.
Oh, look at the thing. I don't understand what's happening here.
Oh my gosh. I guess that's. Oh, it is a wind-up. Oh my gosh, it's bizarre. Why do we have to have. I don't get why we have to have the reflective ornament behind Spider-Man as if we want to see, like...
I didn't even notice that!
In case you want to see
Oh, wow! Yeah, here's one for the ladies.
Yeah, let's...
I did not even notice that, Eddie. Good catch, buddy.
Oh, creepy Ant-Man, what the hell?
And the creepy thing.
Oh, yeah! What's a thing in his Santa beards?
It almost looks like...
That's a good question.
If you look at Doc Ock's right tentacle... It almost looks like he's shooting the finger at you.
I don't understand what I'm looking at. So, I wanted to Cole, give me one. We need to start wrapping this thing up.
Yeah, literally wrapping it up.
Let's see. Cover art.
Eddie's not done yet.
No.
Sorry. Marie Severin, maybe, I guess, because she did the inside. Oh, here it goes. Covers by Marshall Rogers. Oh my gosh.
It was the Marvel Mag of Mirth and Mayhem, after all.
Yeah, apparently so. Okay, are we wrapping up?
Cole's going to give us our last one, and then we're going to wrap this bad boy up.
Oh, gosh, there was one I stumbled on, and I'm trying to relocate where I had it up on the screen.
Eddie, you've got one more while he's looking, because we're going to wrap it. We're going to put a bow on this for 12 months. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
Needless to say, we're probably going to have to come back and examine the world of Santa and Christmas covers.
I'm going to go, okay, since we're doing Santa covers only, because I had a couple, but there's no Santa to be seen, but I'm going to go with one I just discovered tonight, and I literally need to go out and find this or get this on eBay for my collection. It's the Howard the Duck Holiday Special. Had no idea this thing existed, but apparently, by judging by the cover, because that's what we're doing, you have Howard... riding Marty McFly style behind some sort of air sled Hydra thing that, you know, this Hydra agent's flying, and he's running into Santa Claus, who I'm assuming was delivering gifts when he got nailed in the gut. It's very bizarre.
And, what are you, what?
Oh, and it's a wraparound, no less.
Oh, is it? Okay. Just look up Howard the Duck Holiday Special. Looks like it came out in the late 90s, judging by the corner art.
Yeah, if you get the full wraparound image, it gets even more bizarre.
Oh, really? I have to find that then. Look that up.
There's like sort of weird-ass right. Giant cosmic chameleon and a bunch of, like, elves, I guess.
I love me some Howard the Duck, so I got to track this bad boy down and get it. Oh, yeah, there's the wraparound.
Yeah, what the hell?
That's a lot of characters on there.
Yeah, they went all in there.
Whoa.
All right, Cole, bring us home, baby.
Man, talk about fail Hydra.
Oh, those are L's. Okay, I see now.
Yeah.
I found a bigger version.
Okay, where'd it go? Well, you know, I was going to take the high road and
all right.
On this show and talk about Batman and Robin 52 with the very touching Neil Adams with Batman with a big pile of gifts knocking at the door of the poor people's house and that apparently is about maybe 9 square feet where this single father lives. And Batman, who, by the way, I will point out, is a filthy rich individual in his day job.
Right.
You know, brings a whole big sack full of toys to this beleaguered little girl who could probably use a sandwich.
Just.
Oh, or, my gosh.
Or
perhaps,
started
you know, a
day.
Job for her dad at the Wayne Foundation. But no, instead, I found from our friends. Oh, who the hell did this comic? Boneyard Press.
Oh God. Oh God.
From their Babylon Crush license.
Oh Jesus.
A Babylon Crush Christmas, or a oh no, a Babylon Bondage Christmas.
No. No.
Seriously?
Yes, end on the lowest possible note after the high.
Oh, that is disgusting. That is disgusting in ways that, whoa, I'm just kidding. Okay, I'm clicking on, I'm deleting my search history.
So next to that.
I'm burning this hard drive.
The images.
You're on so many, we are on so many lists now.
That's a lot, Cole.
The funny thing is, where mine came up in a search for other things, and then here is, a very bondage Christmas. Among the thumbnails next to that was the most bizarre Santa I think I've ever seen. Man-Thing number 3.
Oh, nice.
So you were you were getting us on some lists as a gateway to Man-Thing
number
3.
I was too busy looking at the hellscape that is that Bondage Christmas, and then all of a sudden I noticed there's at least a slight moment of, you know, I'd rather be creeped out by Santa Man Thing than.
And those are some big gazongas behind them.
Yeah, I know it, man.
Goodness.
Huge.
Oh, I see it now.
Yeah, that's really that's kind of a cool cover. Yeah, your Batman one, Cole, that you mentioned, Batman 239, the Neil Adams one. As soon as I found it and it pulled up, the first thing I thought of was Uncle Buck.
It seemed like trying to keep Batman out.
Yeah, John Candy knocking on the door stresses Batman.
I am right.
Oh, and that's another wholesome Christmas episode for your entire family, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh my gosh.
Eddie, what do you got to plug for us, man?
Well, if you check out DallasOnAir.com every first and third Sunday at 10:30 a.m. Central, you will find Colin and myself on the Rancor Pit Live. On every first Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central, you'll find myself and my wife Colleen, the Cryptid Couple, on Figments, the Unexplained Mysteries podcast. And my art stuff is everywhere on Facebook and Instagram. You just got to type in Eddie Medina Art or Ed Med Art. And on the third Sunday at 9:30 a.m. on DallasOnAir.com. Cole, what do they have?
We have Isle of Toys, A-I-S-L-E, Isle of Toys, where I talk about all kinds of toys and toy genres, manufacturers, bizarre things, and just anything I can to do with the wonderful world of toys and toy collecting.
Hell yeah. And, of course, you can find this show on Instagram, on Twitter, on Facebook, at HK Comics Show. Cole, do you have any plugs specific? We need to start talking about AllCon soon.
Yes, we do. We may as well start now. AllCon is coming up in March, and you'll see us in a collection of bizarre characters in Addison, Texas.
It's as if a Boneyard comic came to life.
It's gonna be a very bondage AllCon
this
year.
That's right. That is March 14th through 17th, 4 full days. 4-day badge, $45. And trust me,
you can't beat that.
You
shit.
Won't run out of things to do over those 4 days.
No.
So,
hey, can we officially say that we're going to be doing Rancor Pit After Dark 2?
Oh, I think we have to be doing Rancor Pit After Dark 2.
Even though it was a small crowd, it was a very happy crowd after the fact. I think we need
we enjoyed
it. I think we really
enjoyed it.
And we're going to be bringing you back Star Wars Urban Dictionary, amongst other things. And
emphasis on the dick.
Yeah. Put the dick in.
Yes, always. Always emphasis
on the
dick. We
are going to really put the salacious and salacious crumb this year.
Yeah, and if any female Rancor listeners are listening to this and want to make plans to come to AllCon, to follow up last year's surprise at Rancor Pit After Dark, if you'd like to come up on stage and flash the audience, you're welcome to. We'll make that a tradition.
That's right.
In the first
show
one.
Us your twin sons.
I guarantee you that is not a moon. That is a space station.
Yeah, and if we're very unlucky, you might even see something that is a moon. So,
well, you're going to definitely see Ugnaughts up to my Ugnaughts.
That is so true.
So,
and that is all coming up at allcon.org. And, of course, I'm Group Captain of Games and Theory, the game show track. This is the 14th year of game shows at AllCon and AllCon's 15th anniversary. We're back at the Crown Plaza in Addison, Texas.
Thank God.
Yeah,
sorry,
which is,
I'm sorry.
And,
is it really Crown Plaza again?
Yeah, we're back to the Crown Plaza.
Oh, cool.
And
awesome.
Despite what the hotel tells you, parking is free over the AllCon weekend. And we will also be seeing the return of onliners, because I'm going to put Andy on the spot, and we needed some onliners.
I'm working on a variation. So yeah, I got something in the bag.
Right, I bet you
don't
do.
Don't you worry.
Is there?
Don't you worry.
Is there any kind of Hey Kids Comics content we can expect?
Well, actually, seeing the Don't Lose Your Geek Card Hey Kids Comics edition, and time permitting, we'll probably be recording at least one live Hey Kids Comics, or, you know, do a live recording of a Hey Kids Comics.
Is it going to be Hey Kids Comics After Dark?
We need that.
We have discussed in last year that there needs to be directly piggybacking off of Rancor
yes,
After
of
Dark.
Course.
We definitely need a Hey Kids After Dark.
Andy's definitely going to be a part of Rancor After Dark. I need to be a part of Hey Kids Comics After Dark. So we may as well just the three of us stay up there for two straight hours.
Right, and with a giant banner of that Boneyard Christmas cover right behind
us
the whole time.
With our faces photoshopped on the characters.
Oh, yeah. Wow. As long as I can just be over both of your shoulders like an Olin Mills studio portrait.
From hell.
From hell. All right. Make your plans now to come to AllCon. When is AllCon, Cole?
That is March 14th to the 17th in Addison, Texas. ALL-CON.org.
I guarantee you it'll be the best convention you go to this year or any year.
Over 400 events over the course of 4 days.
You will make new friends. You will get new diseases. It'll be great.
Whoa.
All right, everybody. Bye, collector. Enjoy your comics. Eddie, say goodnight.
Good night.
Cole, say goodnight.
Good night.
Glad everybody had a great holiday, and we got a great year stacked up. We'll talk more about that next week here on Hinge Comics.